Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In this passage from Isaiah, Isaiah is praying to the Lord. He's looking up to the heavens as he also looks out upon his own situation and the situation of his people who are foreigners in a strange land. They are held captive. Their temple is no longer theirs. Their land is no longer theirs. Their situation is desperate. He does not like the world that he's living in. And so he looks up and he prays, "Oh Lord, that you would tear open the heavens. Rend the heavens and come down. Break open that seal that keeps you from being here. Come down in strength and power and might and do something for this world." He wants the Lord to come down so that even the mountains will quake at the presence of the Lord. He wants the Lord to come down so that God's name is finally and fully known in this world, that the nations will fear and tremble before the Lord. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. This is a prayer that we might want to pray ourselves as we listen to the news, as we see about shootings and all the awful things that are happening in our country, as we listen to the drivel of our politicians on both sides of the aisle, as we hear about every new sexual harassment case that comes up, as we hear and think about impending wars and conflicts with nations like Korea, as we hear about hurricanes, earthquakes, disasters, fires, we might ourselves look up into the heavens and pray, "Lord, that you would come down and just cause everyone to finally fear, tremble, and fall before your presence and your name." It would be nice sometimes if the Lord would just come and deal out some of that Old Testament justice and judgment and put things right. Isaiah is praying this for his people. He's praying this in confidence in chapter 64. And he prays this, and he includes as part of this prayer for God to come down this almost a haughty kind of confession, this prideful thing. And he says in verse 4, "For from ages past no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him." And the implication is that he and his people are those who are waiting for the Lord. And then he says this in the first half of verse 5, "You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways." And again, the idea is that, well, me, Isaiah, and my people are the ones who gladly do right. We are the ones who remember you in your ways, and so we have nothing to fear. Lord, come down in power and in might, that the nations might tremble before you. But then as Isaiah continues his prayer, it's almost like he realizes something. And it's a scary realization that he has. It's a shift. But wait a minute. And so then we get this in verse 6. This realization, well, we have all become like ones who are unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like a wind take us away. Wait a minute. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. He had just prior to this prayed that God meets those who do right, but then he realizes, oh, but wait, there is no one who does right. In fact, all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. He had just prayed and just called down the Lord and said, God meets with those who remember him. Oh, but wait, I forgot. There's no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. Isaiah prays that the Lord would come down in power and might, and really his prayer is about dealing with those people and those enemies that would do wrong to him, that God would bring down the judgment, bring down the fire, and then he realizes, oh yeah, I'm part of the world. Even my best is like a filthy cloth. I'm unclean just like anybody else. I am deserving of punishment and judgment just as much as my neighbor is. And so then Isaiah, he backs up a little bit. And he realizes something about God. That God is, in fact, the potter. The one who sits patiently at the pottery wheel, molding the bowl, molding the cup to be exactly like he wants it to be. And if it doesn't turn out that way, he brings it together again and starts over. He realizes that it is God who is the one who is the designer. God who is the one who has things in control, not the clay. And he says this because he pleads then that God would in fact come down, but that he would come down in his own right time, in his own right and patient way. And at the end of our passage, Isaiah then offers a plea. And it's a stark difference from how we started out, right? Oh, that you would come down, that you would tear open the heavens. But then in verse 9, it changes totally. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord. Do not remember iniquity forever. Consider now, we are all your people. This Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and the season of Advent is about anticipation, waiting, calling and praying that the Lord would return. It's not just a preparation for Christmas. It's not 4 weeks leading into a celebration of the birth of Christ. That's a part of it. It's calling forth for Christ to return again, to heal our hurts, to bring his judgment. And the only reason we can call forth Christ in confidence to come in power and in might again is because he first came in the humility, the peace, and the grace of the manger. We call forth Christ that he would come and restore things because he first came as the baby. And not only that, but that as that baby grew and showed the mercy of God in healings and in feedings and in mercy throughout his life, and ultimately that this Lord came down in power and might in order to die, to be crowned with thorns, to be nailed to a cross for your sin and for mine, that he, by his blood, would cleanse all our filthy clothes and turn them into gleaming robes of baptism. And so we pray with Isaiah that the Lord would indeed tear open the heavens and come down, but not just in power and might, but in his peace, humility, and his grace as he did before, to bring us into his presence through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and bled for us. In this Advent season, I invite you to pray the prayers of faith that call forth for Christ to come down and return and bring healing into our land, healing for yourself and for the neighbor who does not yet know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, we give you thanks for this day. This day that we look forward to, that moment when you would return with healing in your wings to bring restoration and rightness to a world that is wrong and broken, and to our own lives that are often full of sin and broken as well. We pray, O Lord, that you would keep us in faith through all our difficult times, that you would find us watchful for you and ready for you. We pray this in your name. Amen.